Leading Nation, it is time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and get everything that you need to grow your company. If you love the show, if your life is better as a member of Clean and Shape Nation, show us the love. Give us a five-star review on iTunes. Go to the website, growmycleaningcompany.com. There are all sorts of tools, both paid and free, that will help you grow the cleaning company that you've always wanted. Today, we have a very special guest all the way from Germany. His name is, I'm going to butcher his name, but here we go, Nebojsa Sojnic. Nebojsa is based in Duisburg, Germany, and started his company, Geboi de Rai Nengun, less than a year ago. Nebojsa provides commercial and residential cleaning services. Nebojsa, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, and hi to the all. So I'm very glad I'm be there.
Glad to have you, my friend. Now, first of all, before I'm sure I embarrass myself, did I do okay in the business and personal name? Here's your chance to correct me if I absolutely butchered it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have actually the background from Serbia, so that's my name coming from, and my company name coming from the German language. So, and yeah, you did pronounce both of the things very good, so I can say that you are now trilingual.
And I want to, Clean Nation, I want to tell you before we started recording, this guy is companies in Germany and he learned German, he learned English, but he's from, I believe, Croatia. So he's got three or four languages going on there. And I want to ask you, of course, we're doing this via Skype. As much as we love you guys, our budget does not allow for me to fly out to Germany to even as good of a guest as Nebojsa is. So forgive us in advance. If there's any angry emails coming about the sound quality being poor, I apologize. This is the best that we can do from where we're at. But I'm pretty excited that we've got someone on all the way from Germany. That said, Nebojsa, tell us a little bit how you ended up in Germany, how you ended up speaking German and English and your native language, and what drew you to the cleaning business?
Well, basically, I did, after my college, I did work a lot of time in IT industry, and something that is related with mathematics and algorithms and stuff like that. Actually, I was doing that for quite a lot of time, for 10 years and more. And Then in one point of time, I decided to relocate myself with a family in Germany mostly because of better education, better health system, and that was something that I want to do for my kids. And how I end up in a cleaning business is basically when I came here, I didn't speak a word of a language. The people on the street are not responding to English or any kind of other languages except the German. So I was in a position that I cannot do basically anything else except start some manual work or manual labor. And then I decide to work and learn at the same time. And I start to learn a language and to start a company for a cleaning. And now I'm very good with both of them, and I'm very successful. And I will say to you, I will never work anything else in my life anymore. So I'm quite happy with what I have and what I have reached right now.
Gosh, I love your story. So you showed up in Germany not speaking a lick of German, but figuring, well, maybe I can get by just to start with English. And the people in your town were having none of it. And it was either you speak German or you speak to your family, but that's about it. And you just decided, well, I know how to clean and I don't need language for that. And that's what I'm going to start. And then you learn the language and now you're able to kind of move from manual labor to business owner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, you were the kind of people we need over here in America. How did Germany get you? What do we need to do to get you over here, my friend?
I will be more than happy. I was actually two times in my life. I was flying to the United States, and I was seeing America. And most of my clients, I'm actually having a guy from Missouri, and he's real American. And all the time we are using English in conversation because both of us are learning a German language. And it's great fun. I can actually when you did see United States here in Germany, you are something different, and you can always talk about the California, the Florida, the New York, what's look like. It's different than here in Europe. Really, it's different. And people always ask me, what did you see there? How many days you were? And I'm talking more, I'm more American ambassador than I'm than I'm real cleaner, because the people are really interesting in that. And second, there is a, I'm sorry for your audience, my English is terrible, but when you hear the Germans when they are speaking English, then it's something different. You really need to know part of their language to understand their English. It is, I cannot say that. It's quite a mess.
Well, like I told you before, man, I speak English very well and just about no other language, and a little tiny Spanish. So anytime someone's bilingual, trilingual, speaks four languages, that man, you're a hero of mine. So that said, how can I contribute, man? What's going on in your life that I can give you some value to take back to your company and make things even better?
So basically, when I I'm thinking about the marketing, and what will be my marketing approach. So there is no difference between Europe and United States. Is we do not have so much commercials here. Is it good or bad? I don't know. But right now I'm having more than enough customer. When I said more than enough, I mean I have enough work to do, but I need a marketing for two reasons. First reason is I would like to have all the customers at the one place, so at the one block. As I'm driving, sometimes it's not too far, but we have the a lot of times the Germany is building all the times, and there have stops and traffic, whatever. Sometimes I'm driving more than an hour to get a client, just to be there for a couple of hours and get back. I would like to have all the customers at the one block, one place. I'm living in a town that have a 500,000 people. Have a 500,000 people, and there is two towns very near me, like on a 10 kilometers. I don't know how many miles is that, but it's not too big. They both have a 500,000 people. So in my area, living 2.2 million people. And all of them are asking for a cleaning. And the thing is, what I did see in a group, and it is a great difference between Europe and America, is the paying rate in the United States are much more higher than here in Europe. So, for instance, I'm getting something like 20 euros for every hour that I'm working. And I think that in America is sometimes much more better. I'm talking about residential cleaning. For commercial cleaning, I'm getting a couple of euros more for an hour of cleaning. So
let me encourage you. The first thing is, a lot of people, first of all, in the limited experience I've had with working with overseas folks, and I've had some people in Europe, I've had some Australians, Canadians, I found that Europe, if anything, tends to be a little less saturated. So the stuff that we do here, and you'd mentioned it in terms of less advertisement for good or for bad. For you, it's good because stuff wears off, right? It's novel and it's a great idea, and people go, oh, wow, that's, and they respond to it. And then a year later, they've seen it kind of done a thousand times, and it's not as, you got to kind of have to create or cultivate something different. So the good thing is, there's some things that we're probably doing over here that is now saturated, that people aren't responding as well to, but over there, because there's less ads, they might still respond to. That said, I would encourage you that I've not found in any first world countries, obviously if you get to places where there's just no economy and there's no wealth and it's, you know, all either upper class or lower class, that's different. But certainly for Germany, and I don't know what part you're in, but as long as I know Germany's clearly a, you know, kind of a first world country, I have found that it's not so much that, you know, this place pays more, or that place pays worse. It's the quality of the messaging that you're able to convey and the quality of the people that you're able to convey it to. So if you market to the right person with the right message, you'll get the right price. If you market to poor people or people that don't value what you do or understand the value that you bring, the price conversation comes into play. So I want to encourage you. And even if I'm wrong, it's not a healthy or helpful or effective attitude to say, well, the margins are just low here in this entire country. So I can't make any money, because that's, if that's your foundation, it's going to be hard to build on. I'll give you a quick example I use for commodities. When people think, oh, well, my job's a commodity. Everyone gets paid the same and I can't charge anymore. Car washes. I don't know about over in Germany, but here you could get the basic car wash for $5. There's a fancy one for $7 and the super fancy one for $10 if you kind of want to walk through and or drive through. Do you guys have those in Germany where you just drive through and you pay and the machines do the washing?
Yeah. So we have it.
Typically considered to be a commodity. But here, and I don't know if it's made it over to Germany or not yet, they've got people that will detail your car. So it's like, well, sure, it's, you know, somewhere between $5 and $12 to drive your car through this building that's going to, you know, wash it for you. But if you want us to do it by hand, well, that's $30 or $40. And if you want us to wax it, now that's $150. And if you want the interior done and the engine thing, and you can spend $200 or $300 on a detail, and that would be the people that go, oh, this is a commoditized business. Everybody is just looking for price. No one will spend. And you go, okay, well, that's fine. Well, let's take it to the next level. There's a place, I believe in Ireland, that is doing hand custom made car washes for $140,000. And they only do three or four cars a year, and they're very spectacular cars. But again, most people go, I can't get more than $5 or $10 for a car wash. And then someone came and charged $200 or $300 for a detail. And I'm sure there's a whole spectrum in between. I'm not in the car business or the car wash business, so I don't know. But at the top end, there's guys charging over $100,000 to detail your car. And they do it. I mean, I'm sure they do some phenomenal, crazy job. So I just want to encourage you that most people would say, well, that's crazy. The most you get for a car wash is maybe $100. Good Lord. There's people getting $200 and $500 and $1,000 and all the way up to $100,000. The same works with you in cleaning in Germany, here in the States, Canada, Australia. I think we're in like 60, 70 countries now. Again, if you're a first world country, I promise you, it's not about price. It's about value. The people that pay that $100,000 car wash I told you about, there's a waiting list. So it's not like anyone can ask for. Oh, no, there's a waiting list. He has more people trying to get him to do it than he's able to do, because he only does X amount per year and he's got a multi-year waiting list. So that said, I'm going to encourage you to attack this problem with, if I'm not getting the right margin, if I'm not getting enough pricing, I'm giving the wrong message to the wrong person. That said, let's talk about how to make it better. What's going on and how can I coach you today?
So first of all, this is quite, thank you for this. And it's great thing for me. I did, wow, you're really great, sir. I would like to instead of flyers, people just reading the flyers here, because they have a lot of colors on them and a lot of things. I would like to write a very nice letter, and in that letter will be personalized, and I will be saying what I am doing, how I am doing that, and actually what are people getting for their money. So for every client where I'm cleaning, I'm making all the time photos, and then I'm making an email. So I calling that remarketing. It means I was in your house, I did do the cleaning, and these things, I have done it today, and they get it all in an email. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I'm using insurance. We are having a lot of trouble here with the people who are not part of the business, who just cannot learn a language or cannot find any kind of job. So they are working like a cleaners, but they are not paying taxes. They are not paying insurance. You have a law obligation here to pay all of these things. You need to pay a health insurance, you need to pay everything, and these people are working for any kind of money. So I really need to be a different than this in loyal competition are. Most of these people are working for a couple months and then they learn a language and very easy to find another job. There is currently a million empty working places. So actually the Germany are searching for workers.
Let me jump in because we're going to run out of time and I want to make sure I give you feedback and you've...
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. There's a lot of questions that I want to make sure I get to. But if you keep asking, I definitely won't be able to answer anymore. So let's start with the first thing that you said about sending letters versus door hangers. I want to encourage you, there is no right answer. So it's not like, well, door hangers are bad and letters are good or vice versa. It is what do your customers respond to? So I would definitely test both, right? So don't just try direct mail, which is a great method, or mailing through an envelope and not try door hangers. I like both. Second, I would do fewer number more often. So say you've got 3,000 people that you want to mail to. I would encourage you to find the best 1,000 of those 3,000, maybe the closest or the highest value homes or the highest net worth or the, you know, pick the cream of the crop based on their demographic and mail to them 3 times as opposed to mail to that 1,000 people 3 times as opposed to mailing 3,000 people 1 time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to kick up a notch, do both. Do the mailing and the door hanging. Because what happens is, even in Germany, there's a lot of noise in terms of information coming in. People wanting our time, our attention, advertisers, TV shows, movies, people. There's a lot going on. So often we just don't get stuff, and that repetition will serve you. So first and foremost, on the direct mail versus door hangers, try both and test it. I don't care what you like. I don't care what I like. It's what your customers respond to that we're going to do. Second, do fewer people with more touches, right? So have an email and a door hanger and a direct mail piece and have maybe 2 or 3 direct mail pieces and an email sequence of 4 or 5 emails and maybe a door hanger every couple of weeks. Just do fewer people where you have more touches, right? Spend $10 or 10 hours or whatever units you want to measure on 100 people as opposed to 1 hour on 1,000 people. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, you said you want to tell people what you do and how you do it and why it's good and all that. People could not care less about that. They only care about themselves. So let's not, and I forget who I'm stealing this from, which frustrates me because I want to give credit, but I forget who said it, but I love it. It's people do not care. They don't buy when they know what you do. They buy when they know that you understand them. And so many marketers get that wrong. They want to constantly explain, we do this, we do that, we're green cleaners, here's how we vet our people, we pay better, we. They're not interested in you. They're interested in them. What they want to hear is, you deserve a cleaner that has insurance. You need insured cleaners or people that pay taxes or, you know, whatever that case may be, because this, that, and the other. So you're explaining to them their pain and that you understand what it is they're looking for. When I'm looking to work with a coaching client, I don't go, listen to me, I'm smart and I've got hundreds of thousands of downloads and listens and this and I've done that. People couldn't care less about that. I talk about them and their business and what's important to them and why it's important to them and how are we going to get them there. And magically, they know and trust that I can help them. But if I talked about me, they're going to be like, I don't even care. All this guy talked about was him and that's my least favorite subject. He didn't talk at all about my most favorite subject, which is me. They want to talk about themselves. So that would be the first thing is, smaller people, more touches, split test or test doing both. Don't just say, I'm going to just do direct mail. Find out what your customers respond to. Second thing is, talk about them and their needs. They will buy from you when they understand that you understand them, not when they understand what you do. They don't care what you do. Was there a third question or did I hit everything?
You did hit everything. I just want to share something with you. And you did open something for me. Just a couple of days ago, I was asking one lady why you are taking my company, why you need me. And she said to me, you are a headache pill for me. I said, what? And she said, you know, when I am having a headache, I just take a pill and I don't have any more headache. And when I'm having a headache about the cleaning, I just take you. And you just have opened me a range, sir. You are quite talented. I can say, you did open me as some. I can definitely. I need to change my approach to the marketing. Yeah, it's definitely not about me. It's about them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Maybe I will change my company name in a headache pill. So literally, what I'm doing for them, I'm definitely using it. Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I wanted to tell you the best marketing lines I get, or my customers that I coach get, are word for word what their customers say. I was absolutely, I mean, you were saying it somewhat jokingly, but I am dead serious. That is perfect. Whatever the name of your company is could absolutely be your cleaning headache pill. That's fantastic. I love it. And don't change it at all. If that's exactly what she said, say it. And again, especially if she's one of your better customers, right? If she's a low-paying customer that complains all the time and you don't like her, let's not maybe take her advice. But if she's one of your better customers that pays well and appreciates what you do, and it sounds like she does because she said it better than I could have ever. I've been doing this for years and I've not thought of what is such a clever way to say it. So I would absolutely incorporate those exact words into your marketing. At the most extreme, change your name to your cleaning headache pill, right? The name of my company is Grow My Cleaning Company. It's very clear what I do, right? There's no question. So that would be the most extreme. At the least extreme, at least use it as your tagline, right? Your company name and then your cleaning headache pill as a tagline. I would have that all over my marketing. All right. I could go on it forever for you because you're fascinating to me, but we want to keep the time somewhat reasonable. So we're going to hit the lightning round and we're already over time. So you got to go quick. Three quick questions. Three genius answers from you. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received personally or professionally?
The best piece of advice is quality over quantity.
Couldn't agree more. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we could all learn from?
I did ask for less money than I'm worth in order to get new customers.
All right. That's a theme, but it's a theme for a reason because it's awesome. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will make their business or their lives better? Something easy to implement.
Something very easy to implement. I don't know. I cannot give maybe United States. But what I did see, and it is some idea for marketing. I believe that Harry Potter is very popular in United States. So I did make a small brooms from Harry Potter. I did make it in my home with very, very small effort. And I did give these small brooms to the couple of the kids. And I have a 4 or 5 customers. So maybe sometimes the commercial without internet is very, very interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. Did I hit the answer?
No, it was, okay. I like the creativity. That was awesome. All right. Nebojsa, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a whole different time out there and you had to go out of your schedule. I really love your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I guarantee you that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Nebojsa's show notes page and get everything that you need to grow your cleaning company, all the tools, everything you need, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.